This is Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back, and I'm Candace Newton, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women here on CFUN 1410 AM. And we're talking about our topic today, which is being your own best friend. Dr. Aaron, you were talking about some of the four reasons why we betray ourselves. One of them is fear, and I can totally identify with fear of disappointing others. What about confusion? Can you expound on confusion a little bit?
Yeah, so I think I was talking before the break about how we have different voices in our heads about how to respond to various situations we find ourselves in. Voices that come from the families that we grow up in, from our parents, also from the friends that we grow up with, and our siblings if you have them. And so they're all the things that we read. There are all kinds of messages that we take into our adult lives that help us decide how best to live our lives. And when there are these varying ways to approach a situation, it gets confusing. You don't know exactly what the right thing to do is. For instance, you were talking about feeling compelled to follow through on a marriage that you were kind of uncertain about initially. Mm-hmm. So there's a competing voice, one part of you saying, I ought to do this because people are expecting this of me. But there's another part of you saying, well, I have some doubts about this. Should I carry on? And so when you're confused, it's easy to just do what other people, you think other people are expecting of you. And that, in the end, may feel like you've sold yourself out.
And really expectations of yourself, I think, too, because I had some pretty high expectations of me and things that I expected from myself as far as my own behavior and choices. I almost gave myself like almost a godlike quality. I wouldn't even allow humanity to come in myself. And, you know, you were saying about the voices of parents and stuff. You know, I'm a survivor. I've come out of a really tough life, and I've learned an awful lot in my life. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I, you know, you sort of joke about having the voices of your parents in your head. But really, now that I've become a parent, I've realized too that I have to almost preempt everything that is said to my kids with saying, look, I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers here. This is my point of view. And I think that as a parent, I know for me, in talking about, you know, teaching your children not to betray yourselves, is constantly emphasizing to them the importance of listening to themselves inside, paying attention to their feelings, what they have inside. And I think that's part of that. You know, now that I can sort of fix that with my own kids, is to say, look, mommy's not always right here, but I care about you, and this is what's driving my motivation. And then that allows them some freedom of thought, allows them to back away a little bit and be able to say, you know, mom, you know, I appreciate your insight. Not that they'd say it that way. They'd say, you know, shut up, mom. I want to do my own thing. But basically, I get the idea that they're saying, that's not what I want to do. And if at that level, so young in their development, they can learn to back up and say, it's okay that I disagree with mom, then maybe that's not quite as confusing. At least I found that in helping my own kids.
I think that's a really good point you're making, that you give your children reasons for why you recommend what you do to them, so that they can have a thought out explanation for your behavior, and also so they're in a better place to make good choices about what they're going to do, mm-hmm. as opposed to simply trying to please you because mm-hmm. you're mom and they depend on you, and if you're upset with them, then they feel really uncomfortable and anxious, and that's not a good thing, not a good place for them to be. And in their adult years, they may find themselves sort of reflexively just doing what they were told to do, even though there's a part of them says doesn't fit. That's not right. What I want.
And I do remember that. And I think, in fairness to my parents did the really best they could. I think every parent's do. I don't think any parent walks up in life and says, I want to hurt my kids. I think that their own pain and mistakes spills over into that. But as far as being your own best friend, what about the frustration element of knowing, okay, I know that I should be doing the right thing. Now it's no longer confusion. You clearly understand. But there's this degree of frustration that comes in when you're not meeting your needs the way you should and not treating yourself.
Yeah, that's another good question. Frustration, we all are motivated to try to create the right kind of balance in our nervous systems, to put it very generally. So when you're anxious, you're naturally going to try to reduce your anxiety so you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think in our culture, we make a religion out of happiness, being happy. Sure. So we think if we're not happy, that's a bad thing, and we'll do whatever it takes to try to create happiness. But when we're frustrated, we're naturally motivated to try to reduce that frustration in some whatever way possible, and we come to that job with varying degrees of success in the tools that we could use to reduce our frustration. So some people are really good at reducing frustration by taking a deep breath and putting things into perspective. But other people are going to really struggle with that. They're really just going to go with whatever they saw mom or dad do or whatever worked the last time they were frustrated to help bring them down. And that includes things like sounding off with the person that you are upset with at the moment.
I can sound off. I have a gift for sounding off. My kids call it nagging. I can sound off. You know, we've got Natalie in the studio here with us too. And Natalie, you're from the 20s generation. So, you know, we don't want everybody to think that this is unique to just a certain age group of women. But really, Natalie, being a 20s girl, a 20s generational girl, what do you have to say on being your own best friend? Do you relate to betraying yourself in the 20s, or is this a phenomenon that's just part of a my generation?
Well, definitely, you have to figure out at an early time that you are your own best friend, because in the 20s, when you're basically starting a whole new life, you're moving away from the things that are familiar. There's more travel involved, you're starting a new career, you're perhaps starting a new long-term relationship with somebody, and you need to figure out now what is important to you, who you are, and figure these things out now so that you can go into those directions in a nice, stable, hopefully, way. And when you do come across obstacles and whatnot, because you do have a bit of the value system towards yourself, you can understand and rationalize and make clear decisions rather than just trying to work your way through it and struggling through it, because you've already established and you're always thinking about, you know, how do I need to treat myself? Where am I going to go if I'm not being true to myself and what works best for me?
I think that you're probably a really level-headed 20-year-old, and I can't say that I had that in my head at 20. It's probably why I got into the situations that I did. We've also got with us today is Lynn and Jenny, and Jenny represents the 30s generation. So, Jenny, why don't you tell us just really briefly, from a 30s point of view, again, do you find that this is a phenomenon that's just, you know, a certain generation, or can we just walk across the board with all these generations? What do you have to say, Jenny?
I think, like you, I wasn't in that headspace when I was in my 20s, and I wish I had figured it out then, but I think it's something that I've more been working on in my 30s than ever before. I think I spent a lot of my time betraying myself because I just didn't know where to go and what to do, and other people seemed more important to me than myself. Mm-hmm. And, once I figured out that I had to come first, I can't have a relationship with other people properly until I have a relationship with myself, you know, then I could begin to work on that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. Thanks, Jenny. So, Dr. Haight, one of the things, or Dr. Aaron, one of the things that we were talking about, one of your points was like a lack of vision. And, you know, for me, my sort of vision was the immediate. It was getting married. It was, you know, the immediate of what was happening in front of me. But you're saying that lack of vision can be one of those places that can cause us to stumble. Do you, what do you have to say about that lack of vision? How does that relate maybe to what my situation was?
Well, I'd like to first of all talk about a book that I was fortunate enough to read to my young son recently. And one of the pleasures in my life is having children and being able to read books with them. There's a wonderful book out there called The Spyglass, and the central idea in this book is that a kingdom has fallen onto hard times because the people have lost faith or lost a vision in themselves, and they simply don't know what to do. And along comes an old man who gives the king a special spyglass in exchange for sharing a meal with him. And the spyglass enables the king to see what could be, not what is, but what could be. And as a result of that experience and sharing that experience with people in the kingdom's transformed. people are able to, when they are able to see what could be, what they're, what they would like to have be true, and they start to believe it's possible to make that happen, then things start to happen. They start to put in the necessary efforts to be happy and whole.
You know, that's very interesting. But, you know, from my point of view, when I was that, you know, young and in that trouble, I couldn't even imagine myself having a vision for anything. And I'm sure there's other women out there who are just listening to this going, I can't even visualize tomorrow, never mind long-term visions. Maybe they're just, you know, even listening to us, they're going, oh my goodness, I've betrayed myself. Maybe it's just a realization right at this moment. How do you start at that point with a vision if you're, you know, if you're sort of at that place where you just realized that you're, you know, that you've just discovered that you've betrayed yourself? You can't even think about tomorrow.
Well, I think there are several possibilities. One would be to have a good friend or confidant who you can talk to about what's going on in your life. Having somebody to share their experience with you can help you to see what you aren't able to see on your own. So I think there's no substitution for having good friends, or particularly somebody you might call a mentor, who could help you to see what you can't see at the moment.
Oh, that's really excellent. You know what? We're going to take a break. Coming up after the break, we're going to continue our discussion on being your own best friend here on Unlocking Secrets for Women. And we're going to talk about mentors and how a woman can find a mentor and a friend. And we'll be back on that's on CFUN in just a moment.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.